Hey there, I'm Verity Songon and this is the Confident CEO podcast, the show that takes you behind the scenes of starting and running your small or not so small business. We will cut through the misinformation and bad advice about starting and running a business and give you actionable tips and advice that you can implement to grow, scale and achieve your business goals. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to another review of The Apprentice. And this week we are going to be reviewing, or this episode I should say, we are going to be reviewing episode 6, which was going to Dubai and doing the Dubai corporate hospitality package. Now, I'm going to dive in and say this before we go any further. What is their budget for this show? Because I'm sure in series gone by, they have stuck in the UK, or I remember actually one series, they came over to Jersey for, I think it might have been a treat actually, rather than an actual task. But they went to Antigua for episode 1. So obviously that's going to be the most expensive because it was the most amount of candidates that they were going to ship out. And now they are off to Dubai. Again, relatively early in the process, really. So I need to know, have they like suddenly got a huge budget, or have they actually saved on the budget over the last few years because obviously COVID and not being able to travel so much? Or have they, I don't know. I don't know what the end of my question is. But oh my gosh, they have... Whoever is in The Apprentice this year, if they have got as far as this week, then yeah, I think they're doing amazingly well because they've got to go to Antigua and Dubai. And don't get me wrong, you're probably there thinking, but Verity, they're not there for a holiday. It's probably quite a quick stop tour and all this kind of thing. You know, they do need to, obviously they're part of a competition, but still got to go to Antigua and Dubai. But anyway, so on this one, we started off at the airport. Well, they got to the airport after, you know, the classic, you've only got 20 minutes to get ready, and I'm still in awe that they turn up looking so amazing. And the one thing that immediately struck me the second they got to the airport is, did Meghan miss a memo? Because all the guys are in their, you know, their suits. All the girls seem to be really well coordinated in white and pink, and Meghan is there in blue with a black blouse or shirt or whatever. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that was great because it really meant that she stood out, but it also, I don't know, I just kind of looked at it and I was like, did she miss the memo there that she was supposed to be wearing white and pink that day? But never mind. So they went off to Dubai. Reese disappeared partway through. He couldn't continue. Anything that I've looked up, it just says for health reasons. So I've got no idea what that is about, if it's mental health, if it's physical health. Regardless, Reese is out of the process. I'm actually a little bit sad by that because I quite liked Reese. I thought he was quite like, you know, cheeky chappy, and I thought I really liked him on the Antigua one where he was selling selling tickets to his fellow Scots. And I thought it was a shame that he's had to bow out. But regardless, whatever the reason is, he, like I said, it just says from all the news that I've looked at, it just says health reasons. So whatever it is that made him leave the process, I hope that he is, you know, doing well, and yeah, he's healthy and happy and all of those best wishes and good stuff. But moving on and talking about the actual episode, oh my gosh, they went to Dubai and what the heck happened? Okay, let's start at the beginning. First of all, I really liked Victoria, how she just, we all know that I like Victoria, I think she's a really good contender, about how she, you know, just put herself out there and she was like, I know Dubai, I've worked with these, with the clientele that you see in Dubai quite often, there's money to be made. She was so authoritative and I thought that was brilliant. Yes, okay, it did kind of bite her in the bum a little bit because, you know, the client that she went to, she had just way overpriced way overestimated what that client was prepared to pay. So I think that was a little bit of a shame. But I liked that she actually, you know, she had the experience and she wasn't afraid to, you know, to say what she knew with conviction. It was just a shame that I think the client didn't have the same, expenditure as she had hoped. And again, the same with the other team when they went to see the corporate client and they were like, yeah, no, we're not spending anywhere near that. But the tasks themselves, oh my gosh, I get that it's a profit-making task, but I'm going to start off talking about the desert experience. Yes, it's a profit-making task. Yes, you want to make as much money possible from the task. However, they should have gone for more expensive food. You know, they really sold it as a luxury, as a premium experience, and they went for the mid-range package of food, which, don't get me wrong, that still looked really good, but personally, and it's easy to say personally, I'll do this, yada yada, but personally I would have gone for the premium food. I think it was like the lamb cooked underground or like in a hole. It reminded me of when I went to New Zealand and we had, I think it's pronounced hangi. I'm really sorry to anyone listening in New Zealand and like if I've butchered that word, but I believe it's called a hangi. And this, I had this in New Zealand. It was like a traditional way of cooking meat where they dug, like they put the meat in the hole, in a hole in the ground to cook. It was absolutely delicious. Anyway, it was like a, what am I trying to say? It was like, you know, one of these experiences that I went on in New Zealand, and then you watch people in traditional costume doing a haka and got to eat this hangi. Either way, it was amazing. But anyway, that's a bit of a, you know, bit of a tangent there. But my point is if they had gone for that dish, that lamb dish, what an amazing story to be able to tell your guests as well. You know, not only are you serving the food, but you can say, you know, this is cooked in such a traditional way. This is what the process is for having to cook this particular food. And that to me just screams interest, but also luxury, because it's like, you know, it's not just thrown on a barbecue, it's not just thrown on some hot coals. So personally, I think, you know, they really, really missed a trick there. I think they focused way too much on the profit margin, which is something that was totally picked up in, or picked up on in the boardroom later. Also, oh my God, they limited drinks. They're in the bloody desert. They are in the desert and they only gave or allocated 2 glasses of water and a glass of squash to each person. Just, you know, and then they were all fighting in the boardroom being like, yeah, but we shouldn't have told them. You know, if we hadn't told them, it wouldn't have been a problem. Of course it would have been a problem. You were in the desert. I literally can't think of a hotter place in the world that you could possibly be and want to have a drink. And they're like, oh yeah, you can just have, you know, you can just have a glass. Oh no, there's your next glass. Oh, you've only got one drink left. That was just stupid. Yeah, just absolutely stupid. I don't know. No words. Just no words. But then, you know, maybe that's personal, and I'd love to know your thoughts. So this just made me think though of when we got married. We had one of these, you know, we didn't have a reception in a hotel or anything like that. It was very much DIY because we wanted like this really laid back, chilled out kind of vibe. So we literally hired a field, hired a marquee, got the caterers to do this huge barbecue. Oh my God, it was incredible. We had like steak on the barbecue. Oh, it was beautiful. But what we did for the drinks is because we were in the middle of the field, there was limited, like the electricity was all from a generator and stuff. I'm painting this really weird picture, but trust me, it was incredible. Like our friends, I'm not boasting or anything, but our friends still talk about our wedding reception even now. And it's like nearly 9 years later. But you know, there were logistics around having a bar there and having like, you know, a pop-up bar and all this kind of thing. And in the end, what we did was my then fiance, so my husband, with a couple of his friends, he's got a pickup truck. They went down to a local alcohol wine wholesale shop and they literally just filled the back of the pickup truck with alcohol. There was just, you know, we didn't do spirits or anything. We literally just did red wine, white wine, champagne, Prosecco. What else did we do? Cider, beer, loads of soft drinks as well. And obviously loads of water because we had people there who were pregnant, who were breastfeeding, who were driving, who, you know, just don't drink. So we had to make sure that there was a good amount of water and soft drinks as well. But we literally just, you know, we just went crazy, or they went crazy, just, you know, spent, I don't even know how much money we spent in the end, just, you know, filling up the back of the pickup truck with drinks, basically. You know, we weren't thinking at any point, oh my God, how much is, you know, is that, how much, you know, how much are we going to limit people to drinking? Because we were in a field, we were asking people to come and party in the middle of a field for like however many hours. We had to make sure that there was enough fluid for them to drink, be that alcoholic or non-alcoholic. And obviously we had to make sure that there was enough water as well and soft drinks, not just for the children, also people who I listed before, but also if people just, you know, needed a break or needed to sober up or whatever. So, you know, we really, and all we were thinking afterwards was, oh, well, you know, if we had loads left over, we could see if we could take it back and if they'd do a refund. Incidentally, we did have a lot of alcohol. We really overbought. We had a lot left over. But then what we did was we met up with a load of friends the next day and we just were giving away bottles of champagne and wine and stuff. And do you know what? We then stuck a load in our garage as well. And it meant for, I don't know how long, but ages and ages and ages, it meant that whenever we had friends around and stuff, we didn't actually have to buy any alcohol because we just had loads left over from the wedding. You know, my point was, is I'm not advocating they had to massively overbuy, but my point was that they really didn't have to severely limit people either. And I do think it was a little bit unfair that Joe got fired based on the fact that he told the, you know, the client that their water and their drinks were limited. I don't think he should have gone on that basis. I know there was a conversation as well, like, was Simba culpable because he had said, you know, that there was that limitation. Yes, Joe took the decision to tell the client. I think that actually they should have looked at who made the decision in the first place to limit drinks, just full stop. Like, because if that decision hadn't been made, then there wouldn't have been any other decisions about who got told and who actually did the telling to the client and all this kind of thing. So that is just my two penneth. I'm not convinced Joe should have gone, but I think it was a stupid, stupid decision in the first place to put any kind of limit on the, you know, on any kind of drinks, be it alcoholic, non-alcoholic or anything, particularly when you were selling it as a luxury experience. You know, if it was dirt cheap, actually, no, even if it was dirt cheap, I would still expect, you know, enough water. Because like I said, first of all, you're in the desert. You need to stay hydrated. And second of all, you can go to so many restaurants that do, you know, and it doesn't matter how expensive or how cheap they are, you know, they'll do like unlimited refills for fizzy drinks, or they'll do like, you know, if you get one drink, then you'll have one refill, or it's unlimited water because it's tap water. You get my point. There's so many things. It doesn't matter how luxury or how cheap it is, where there are deals on drinks. So I just think it was ridiculous. But anyway, I'm going to stop talking about free water in the desert because I just think it was a no-brainer. But anyway, let's move over to talking about the other team who just couldn't seem to put on a great day out for that client. Now, in all fairness, I will say this to that about them. I don't know whether or not that client was a little bit awkward. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. I've never been in the position of spending, I don't know exactly how much money, because actually I haven't even worked out what the conversion rates were. So I can't remember exactly how much money she spent. It sounds like a lot because they were working in the thousands, and I think the conversion to the, you know, to British pound is in the hundreds. But kind of regardless, I've never been in a position where I've been on a day out and I've said, I'm bored, I need to go and do something else, or I want to go do something else. But then maybe that's my British thing of just being too polite. I don't know. But then equally, like I said, I've never been in the position where I've spent so much money that I'm like, no, I kind of want the service that I, you know, have spent for, because I've spent thousands on literally one day out. But either way, you know, that's kind of regardless. The fact that the client said that they were bored, oh my God. But then at the same time, where did they think that it would be fun to put people on jet skis and then just shout random facts at them and shout random questions? That's not fun. That's just, I don't even know what that is, but it's not fun. I don't know. I'd love to get on a jet ski and do the jet skiing part, but I wouldn't want to just like kind of be tethered up in the harbour or just pausing in the harbour and just, you know, having somebody shout random questions at me. That's not fun. Like, they were shouting questions about cocktails. I want to be drinking the cocktails, for goodness sake, not just talking about how pricey they are. Anyway, that was just, I also thought it was a bit stupid because they were kind of saying things and asking questions where it's like, it was fascinating to them as the team because, you know, they'd only just learned these facts, but the people who lived there, they kind of knew the answers because they lived there and they lived that lifestyle. But anyway, that was that. And then they then got to the boat for the food, and oh my God, waiting for the food, I was cringing. I was feeling hungry on behalf of the client, and I'd already eaten my dinner by the time I was watching this. And I just felt so bad for the client, because you don't expect to be waiting that long for food. It was, and I felt really bad for Megan as well, because Megan was saying all the right things going into the kitchen. She was like, you know, we need to just make sure we've got a process, we need communication, we need our system in place, because bish bash bosh, then you got a system, you're down. And she knows what she's talking about, because I believe it's a sweet shop or so, it's something in, you know, some kind of food catering hospitality that she does. So she knows that side of things. And she was saying all the right things going in. And I don't know if it was the equipment, I don't know if it was the timing, I really don't know. But obviously the food was not getting out to the party, and that was just not happening at all. And then she felt really sick. In all fairness, I felt sick watching the episode as well. I cannot do boats one iota. So I felt really, really bad for her. I thought that was a real shame that she, you know, that she got so sick and she felt so sick. But that kind of, you know, was by the by. I think the experiences though, oh my god, I'm not sure I was that impressed with either of them. Oh, and the DJ thing, we need to pick up on the DJ thing where they spent so much money and literally only used the guy for like 30 minutes. What was that all about? They just, there was no negotiation on that at all. I'm sorry, that was just, that was awful. You know, I completely agreed with Karen. They needed to go in and say, we want your service for this amount of time. What kind of price are we talking about? Not go in and say, how much are you for like a day? Because of course the guy's going to be like, well, this is my daily rate and I don't go any, you know, any lower than that. That was just, oh, that was awful. Either way, what did I think of the experiences? Personally, I think I would have preferred to have gone on the desert experience, you know, with several litres more water than they offered. But I think I would have quite enjoyed that. I don't know why I say that, because I think the idea of riding on a camel, I think, is really lovely. However, as somebody who's only gone horse riding like twice and was absolutely bleeping terrified of that, I'm not sure that I'd actually want to ride on a camel, you know, when push came to shove. But I love the idea of it. And I really love the idea as well when they went, you know, in that lovely, lovely outdoor setting where they had their dinner. That just looked stunning. And I would love to experience that. That looked beautiful. The bread making, no, I'd probably prefer to have done the drum activity, which then they were like, oh well, you know, we can't do the drums because it's too expensive. They wouldn't spend more than that anyway. Oh, it was just ridiculous. The point I think that both of the teams missed from this was a really clear strategy. So what is our aim in this? Is it delivering luxury and therefore potentially not having quite as much profit? Or is it about making as much profit as possible and at any cost? And I think, unfortunately, both teams got a little bit, definitely the desert team, but both teams to a degree got caught up a bit too much with the idea of profits. And I don't think they really sat down and thought, what is luxury here? And I think it's difficult because they clearly get, you know, on each of the tasks, they clearly get shown like a load of options, and they clearly as well need to make decisions very quickly. And I think in the snap of it all, you kind of get caught up with, well, this is what I want to do, or this is what I think is luxury. And I think sometimes because you're working really, really quickly, how it comes across to me is they don't necessarily just take the time, take the breather to be able to step back and be like, yeah, no, this is not gonna work. And there's so many voices, and obviously it's a competition as well. And then you've got, you know, Tim or Claude or Karen watching you. But, and it must also, it's not just them, you've got like a whole camera crew watching you as well. That must be quite difficult to navigate if you're not used to that kind of thing. But my point is that I think that, you know, they lost sight of having a strategy and then clearly following the strategy as well. And as I said, I think it was a shame that Joe went, but it's what it is. But I'd love to know what you thought of this episode. What are your thoughts? Do you think Joe deserved to go? Was there somebody else who you thought deserved to go? What did you think about the whole limited drinks in the desert thing? Let me know, and I will be back next time with another episode review. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Confident CEO podcast. Before you go, I would absolutely be overjoyed if you could take just 2 minutes to leave me a review in Apple Podcasts. Reviews are a great way to tell Apple Podcasts how much you've enjoyed the show, and it helps the algorithm to push out the podcast to more people, thereby helping us to help empower even more badass businesswomen to grow their inner CEO and grow to be the confident CEO of their business that they can be. I love to shout you out in your reviews as well. So you never know, you might be hearing your name on the podcast in the next episode. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.